You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke and chapter 11. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you that we can do that. So looking to you to deal with us, that we would have the benefits of being in your presence on your day in the light of all that lies ahead. And our God, we thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. We share together in the light of David saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and we have proceeded down that corridor so that we would understand God meets the needs of the human heart in a wonderful way. So, picking up that little word need in the New Testament here, and just grabbing it in a way that will help us, Luke chapter 11, man has a guest come late in the evening. He has to go, and of hospitality to go and provide some refreshment, etc. And he doesn't have it, so he goes to his neighbor, and his neighbor to get that refreshment. And it's late at night, and so the neighbor is asleep, his children are asleep, and he has to go, and he knocks real loud and makes lots of noise, and they wake up, and the man said, "What do you want?" And he tells them, "People have come to my house, and I have no bread, no refreshment for them." And so therefore, that's a brief little bit on verse 5. "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend," illustration, "and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. And the word lend, L-E-N-D, is the word to go. Need. I have a need. Use. To make use of a need. I'm lacking something. I'm deficient in something. And I need something to use, to make up for what I don't have. I need to use. I need a need. I need to make use of some bread. That's what I need. So lend me, make use, need." And so he pesters them and everything. Finally, verse 8, and I say unto you, I've got to do this a little better. Verse 6. "For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer him and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee." The Lord's using the illustration to make the point. Verse 8. "I say unto you, though he will not rise to give him because he is his friend," is a neighbor, friend, a wonderful little friend, "but why are you going to get out of bed and go give him that bread? Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth, lendeth," back up in verse 5, lend, need, verse 8, same word. He says, "Lend me, I need bread," and because of the guy's pestering and to get some sleep, he's going to give him the bread because he needs it. He needs it to give his company, his guest, food, to use the bread. He needs something to use to eat the bread, need to use. In my poverty, I'm lacking. I need something to make up what is lacking. Lacking is a good word. Now, having said that, God's answer. You don't have to do that with God. You don't pester God. You don't beg God. You don't have to do that at all. That's the wrong way. Now, think of what we did this morning in that. Now, therefore, verse 9, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For reason, every one that asketh receiveth, asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him to him that knocketh shall be it shall be opened. If it, God, you're going to keep going, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will he give for a fish? Will he give him a serpent? No, no, you don't do that. That's just humans, verse 12. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? No, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, us humans, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And you know, what's God going to do? We're going to receive the Lord. All those wonderful passages that help us understand. The Lord Jesus said, I have to go die on the cross. And when I go die on the cross, I'm going to make possible another comforter of the same kind. God the Father sent the Son to be the Savior. Christ the Savior sends the Spirit of God to make all of it happen. That's what he does. So the Spirit of God, you're going to be the solution. I'm the solution. So we do not have to go like that man knocking it late at night. No. God, we don't have to beg. We don't have to pester you. We don't have to nag. Nope. We just have to go and trust you. And what are you going to do? Are you going to give us some bread? Are you going to give us a job? Are you going to give us a pay raise? What are you going to do? No, I'm going to give you myself. I myself am going to give you all that I am and all that I've made possible in my by way of my Son. How are you going to do that? God, in his wonderful nature being and essence, God the Father sent the Son, the Son sent God the Holy Spirit. God, you're going to be God. My God shall supply all your need. God knoweth the need. Where is it coming? God is going to be the supplier. Hang on. And just to tie that little word, lend and need, back over to Matthew 6 for 30 seconds. And Matthew chapter 6, where you were this morning in that. And I'll pick it up directly if I can in verse 32. After all these things, do the Gentiles seek for your heavenly Father knoweth who have need of all these things, etc. And my God shall supply all these things, etc., etc. So we did all of that this morning. Now God, you're going to supply everything. I know your need before, turn the pages again. I know your need before you get into tomorrow. I already know it. I already know it on next Tuesday. I already know your need. So I already know my need. I already know. I don't know my need. You don't know the need, but God does. So that's what we're looking at. God, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So God, you know the need. And God's going to meet the need. God, underline, God the Holy Spirit, that's his wonderful ministry to go meet the need. That's what he's going to make it all work. Think of, you don't have to turn there, Romans 8, 26, 27. The Spirit of God, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. And we don't, because we don't know. We don't know how to do it. God does. So we don't. That Romans 8, 26, 27. And the Spirit of God is going to go in the light of the will of God, outwork that wonderful plan in our life with groanings which cannot be uttered. So God, are you going to explain to me everything? No. You couldn't understand if I tried. So I'm going to go and trust God. And the Spirit of God is going to do what he does in a most wonderful way. So God, and we have a Heavenly Father that was underlined. Think of the Son in the Luke 15. The Father, to go back to the Father. As a Son, the Father cares. The Father is there all the time. He wants everything. He has everything for his sons. Has everything for his sons. And the Son needs to be enjoying being a son, not a servant, even though we are servants. Needs to be a son to enjoy the Father's care in order to have understanding that all of that the Father has that belongs and is useful to the Father to help and encourage the Son. All that the Father has. Anyway, we shared all that in 1 Corinthians 3. Don't you know that Peter, James, Paul, all those people, everything on heaven and earth is yours. Why is it yours? It's yours in Christ. In Christ it's yours. Hang on, it's coming. Now, so therefore, I'd like to see how that works. Over, if you would please, go on your way to John chapter 15. Just so you see where we're going. John chapter 15, if I can. And you will notice when we did the Gospel of John, up to at least a little bit here, further, chapter 15 and verse 3. The Lord Jesus said to the 11 in the upper room, You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And we shared all that together. What's the point? They were believing and trusting God and God the Holy Spirit. They were going to go hang in there all the way to Pentecost and have the wonderful benefits of God's saving grace. Now God said, you're already with me. You're already there. So I don't have to get you there. You already are there. But, chapter 13. And in chapter 13, picking up, please. And you remember, we're back in the upper room again. And in the process, he proceeds to go and wash their feet, you remember. And in the process, he did that, and et cetera, sliding to verse 6. And he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said, that's what a servant does when you go in the house, before you get into the house. After verse 5, and that he poureth water out into the basin, he took a towel, verse 4, I guess. He riseth from supper and layeth his side his garment, took a towel and girded himself. He poured the water out. He cometh to Simon Peter, verse 6, to wash his feet, verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet, Jesus. And you're never going to do that, Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay. Lord, not my feet only, but wash my hands and my head. In other words, take all of it. I don't want part of me, just I want all of me. Our Lord then said, to help him understand, verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed, you're clean. You're already with me. You're already made. You understand who I am. A little bit, anyway. And Jesus saith unto him, verse 10, that he that is washed needeth, there's your little word, need, to want, to lack. You lack. What are you lacking? You're clean, every whit of you. But you lack. What do you lack? Sliding down. He needeth not save to wash his feet. Verse 10. Wash his feet. But is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. That's Judas. Now, so here's his feet. His feet need to be washed. So here's the believing heart. Get saved. Wonderfully, wonderfully saved. God makes you a new creature in Christ. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be saved. Now, but You're still in the world, in the body, old nature, on earth, limited and restricted in your normal senses, earthly senses, to earthly conditions, human conditions. That's what you're set into. You're locked into those human conditions. Now, having said that, being in those human conditions, you are in the world. And as long as you're in this body on earth in time, you are a problem in the sense that you have an old nature and the whole world system is evil, darkness, etc., etc. And you live in it. You're part of it. You are the world system. God saved you out of the world system, etc. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, now here we are. You have a need of your feet. Now, God will supply all your need. He knoweth our need. That's just the feet part. That's part just being in the body, being alive. You get saved, wonderfully saved, a son of God, child of God, and God's waiting. But you're still here, and you got a problem in this old nature, with our old nature and everything. Now, sliding over, if you would, please, over to 1 John. And put this together each time so you see it. The practicality of it and how it works. 1 John, remember now, your feet are going to get dirty and you need them clean, clean, clean. Every get out of bed, you go to bed, in bed, you got dirty feet. Now how are you going to keep them clean? You can't have enough water and soap to scrub. No, you can't. 1 John, what did you tell us? 1 John chapter 1, going directly for time, verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, darkness, children of light, we're trusting God, we have fellowship, one with another. The Lord is my shepherd, fellowship, relationship. Got to have that. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from what? All sin. So every step you take, God said, that has to happen. But God, what are we doing? You aren't doing it. The blood of Jesus Christ, you're appropriating it, you understand it, you're exercising being forgiven, being saved. You're exercising it. And your feet stay clean. Your heart stays fresh. You're covered from head to toe in the wonderful saving grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, so therefore, God, how are we staying clean? You said you supply. You know our need and you supply our need? Absolutely. That's why you're walking in the light. And I'm taking care of every step you take. You aren't going to figure out how many lousy words, thoughts, and deeds you say per hour. You aren't trying to figure it out. You're trying to thank God. Thank God. That's why you learn to thank God and everything. Why? Because that's how it works. You're thanking God for what he's doing. He's doing it. You said he knows our need. Absolutely, he knows your need. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, walking in the light, so God, you're going to take care of the need in a most wonderful way. Absolutely. So God, well, that takes care of our being. So God, are you going to take care of our need? Are you ministering? Do you know? Absolutely. And the blood of Jesus, all you're doing is trusting me, said God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's saving grace, We walk by faith and not by sight, and we look to God, and that's how we go. We walk in the light. Simple. Simple. Just enjoy being alive. That's what to do. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians. I want to do it again. See how it comes out. God, you said you supply all the need. So, in 1 Corinthians, God, you meet all the need? I said, I meet all the need. So, you sit down, you're not going to go into beg, you don't have to be like the guy knocking at the door trying to get something. You don't have to do that. God is waiting to meet the need. He knows it. So you don't even have to knock on the door. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about the body. When you get saved, you're placed into the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head, you're the body. It's a wonderful, awesome, awesome truth. Now, what part of the body, how is it? Well, let me read it and then you'll see it. 1 Corinthians 12, picking up please, in verse 21. I'll read verse 20, but now verse 12 and 20. Now, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need, there's your little word, want of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. They can't say that. They can't say that. What part of the body don't you like? That's yours. Now, apart from tonsils and stuff that you have to have, tell me what part of the body you'd like if I could magically come along, and you have to give me some part. I'm going to come along, give me some part of your body. I'm going to take my machete, and here it is, and I want some part of your body. Which part of the body would you give up? Is that all right? What part of your body? Well, my fingernail, maybe. No, there's no part of your body. You enjoy, even though you don't think about it, every part of your body, from your toes all the way to the top of your head. You enjoy your body. Every part of the body is awesome. And every part of the body belongs. And that includes, even though they... And always trying to figure out things, what tonsils and appendix and all of those things. They all have a wonderful purpose. God put them in there. We just don't understand everything, obviously. So every part of the body is awesome. So every part of the body is needed, wanted. It can never, the fingers, can never say to the thumb, I don't need you. The thumb will never say to the fingers, I don't need you. And you don't want to be without your thumb unless you had to, because your thumb is critical in handling things. You have no idea till your thumb is missing. And you don't realize how important the thumb is. Your big toe. You don't realize how important it is. So God, what are you saying about the body? Body, hang on. Verse 22. Nay, much more those members of those of with the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body, verse 23, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts, the outward show of things, uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Comeliness. For our comely parts, verse 24, have no need, but God tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which it lacked, that there should be no schism, division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members are rejoiced with it. Now you didn't get that easier. Now, what happens if God made you, and here we have hands, and we have all of these different parts of our body, and our body is whatever appearance we used to looking at it. What happens if God made your body different? And what happens if you had your intestines, the small and the large, rolled up out here? You know what they are? Just think a bunch of spaghetti or something. And you got, here they are all here. You got all the parts of the body. What happens if you looked at them? Would that be attractive? I bring my stomach intestines to you, is that what? What do you think? Aren't the intestines important? Absolutely, but they have no beauty. The parts that aren't your finger, you can do without. You can't do without your intestines. The finger has more form. People like what they see because they're used to it. The parts that really are needed are in here. You can't see them. And God made them more valuable than the parts that you can see. Now, so therefore, point, God. You say, what's that got to do with need? My Father knows all the need. Well, verse 18. But now God has set members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, if you did, as you did, God put you at that moment into his body, into a unique personal relationship to God. God did it. You and I didn't do it, and we wouldn't even know how to do it or where to do it. But just for you to be understanding, you didn't do it, and I didn't do it. God did it. God put you in his body. This is a body, your body, physical. God put you in his body. God did it. Where you are located, in the body of Christ. Top, head, it doesn't matter. Just to be in the body. Or as the psalmist would say that, oh, just to be a threshold. But to get to God would be something wonderful. Let alone to be in the body. To be in the body. The Israel isn't in the body. The millennial believers aren't in the body. You're in the body. It's an age of grace. It's an awesome thing. Now, but God, you know the need. How do we get in the body? God, you said the Spirit of God is the one that does it. That's correct. So God, so far, you know, you said, my Father knoweth the need, knoweth everything. He understands everything. And we're trusting him. Our hope is in God, our anticipation, as we proceed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, down the corridor of time. So God, that's an awesome thing. Go over with me, please, to 2 Thessalonians. And just to show you, here's the churches, and I'm interested how it works. So here's just one thought to see it, Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 12. That you may, the Thessalonians in the context, verse 12, 4:12, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, the unsaved. So here's the body. We want to be giving same testimony, a common unified testimony to the unsaved world around us. That's the body. The body represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack. There's your word need. Lack, need. You'll need nothing. The body is going to be taken care of. The Spirit of God does it. If we're all on the right page running, God's going to cover every base there is as we go to work, home, school, neighborhood, wherever we are. And God's going to cover the bases. And you'll have no need. Because God is going to meet the need. But then you'll never know it. You can't experience the joy and wonderment of the shepherd's awesome care unless he's your shepherd and you let him be your shepherd. Over to Titus. Titus in chapter 3. Picking up just to one place anyway. In chapter 3, verse 14. 3:14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works. Why should be? Remember, we did good works. We did works. God's working, outworking. his good works that he had for you before the foundation of the world. And those works are to be understood and outworked. That's what they are. And that's what it's, when you get saved, God brings that to, gives you the wonderful privilege of pursuit of those wonderful works, of God's working. And those good works are going to do what? Well, it's God doing them. God working in you. Verse 14 again. Let ours also learn, and that's the word you have, Matthew 11 and 29, learn of me, bring into your experience. Let it be brought into your experience. Verse 14, let ours also learn to maintain, brought into your experience, to maintain, to keep going, supply, to maintain, to cause, to stand fast, to stand before. In other words, you want to put something up front. You want to show, you're what? You want to show God's wonderful working, to maintain, to show it, to show those good works, God's working, for necessary, there's your word, needful, necessary uses. Necessary uses, I said. Uses is the word you're looking at. That they be not unfruitful. So God, understand, you're working. And that's what Timothy, Titus, etc., that's what you're going to do. You're going to do a wonderful thing in a most wonderful way to bring it into our wonderful, wonderful experience. Now, how is that going to happen? God, you want that. That should be our lot as we journey through time. Hebrews, as you would guess, and Hebrews in chapter 5, and may I go, please, in the process, chapter 5, picking up, if I may. I'm going to go to verse 11, 5, Hebrews 5, 11. Of whom you have many things to say, but hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. So you have to have an ear to hear, and if you don't want to hear, you won't. Okay, verse 12. And when the time you ought to be teachers, you ought to understand enough. That's why we go to the first grade, second grade, third grade, so that we get the alphabet and be able to count a little bit and read a little bit, and we do it so that we all can read the same sign. We all can look at the same thing and understand. We can add up the same thing together. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need, there's your word, you need something. But what do we need? We need milk. Well, where does milk come from? Milk is the word of God. Think of Peter. Milk, this is here, milk of the word of God. You need milk. That's what babies need, milk. They can't have steak. They can't do that. They have to have milk. That's what's required to get there. You have to work at that. Now, so therefore, you just can't start out and have everything. You can't do that. Such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Not strong meat. Therefore, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. And there's nothing wrong with that, except 25 years later, and you're still a baby. Well, that's not good. That's not good. Well, I've been saved 25 years. What do you know? Well, I don't know very much. That doesn't speak well. That doesn't say good things. Why don't you know? Why don't you understand? Have you ears to hear? Have you been hearing? Wow, maybe not, maybe not. I don't know. It just didn't occur to me that there was more to it than just believing and let it go with that. Wow. So therefore, what you need, and in the end of verse 12, that you have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat, well, how are we going to get there? Belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, you've got to go to the gym. You've got to, the word exercise has to do with the Olympics, and you train for the Olympics. You spend lots of time, to hours, whatever you're doing, to get ready for the Olympics. They're going to play in it, so you got to work at it. You got to work at it between good and evil, and we live in it. We got an evil heart. Our old nature's evil. The world we live in is evil. That is the absence of God, the absence of good. So therefore, I need to understand where God is. God, is that in my old nature? No. My good, the good I have is in God. The righteousness I have is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, I discern. There's myself and my desires and dreams and aspirations trying to fill my needs. And there's God. I need to distinguish. And I have every day to practice the difference when I'm trusting myself and looking and thanking God. And I'm thanking God because He does everything to work at home and school, whatever we're doing. So, as we're doing that, we're exercised, and that's how you discern. But if you aren't exercised, you don't discern. And that now. And so, if the Olympic Games were here, and it was time for you to run, and even I know some of you do run, you aren't ready to run or jump or whatever you have to do, because we aren't there. We don't do it every day. But we're supposed to be practicing our wonderful relationship to God every day so that we discern between self and the Savior, so that we understand, so that we don't persist in self, and that we insist our own heart, we demand that our heart yield to God's wonderful grace. And by looking to God, we walk in the light as He is in the light, so it isn't a struggle, so we're not going to have to go through great difficulty to get there, because we're walking in the light. And light is light. It just shows. That's what it does. That's all light does. It just shows. And we live in the light, so when they say blue, green, wall, wood, it's easy. We're in the light. And we're discerning. We're discerning in the light. The pews are one color and the walls another color, and we discern because we're in the light and we're learning. And we practice walking in the light so that we learn and we catch quickly, when more quickly. That's not my old dumb nature. That's what that is. And you catch it. Nope. And we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, and He forgives our sin. And we do all of these wonderful things, and God makes it, we just travel down the road. So we understand. So therefore, we are exercised in a most wonderful way to trust God and look to God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, now one of the problems that you're going to have, and in the process, over if I can, Philippians. Philippians and chapter 1. And in Philippians in chapter 1, just watch it, see how it goes. Philippians chapter, Paul's in prison, remember, and is encouraging believers that aren't in prison. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. A, He begun. So when I got saved, God did a wonderful thing and made you a new creature in Christ. That's a wonderful thing. And that has to be worked out, exercise, to discern good and evil. Your old nature, that's why we walk in the light, so we can discern. In the dark, we'll never discern. In the normal human interacting theologically or otherwise, we can be in the dark. And we aren't learning anything. We aren't discerning anything. Seems like we are, but we really aren't. We need to be in the light to see it, to understand. Therefore, Philippians 2, And in Philippians chapter 2, you know, the end of verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So that's what you're going to do. You aren't working anything else out. You aren't working your job out. You aren't working your health out. You aren't working your family out. You aren't working the country out. You aren't working anything out. The only thing you're working out, and you put your 1,000% to make all the rest of it easy, you're working out your relationship to God. That's all you do. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord knoweth the need before we ever ask. And God takes care. Totally. So I'm looking to God. We're looking to God. And we're working out that wonderful relationship. And you know, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God doing it. Now hang on. God's doing it. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing for God to be doing it. Therefore, God, and who's going to admit doing everything to take care of it? Okay, over to chapter 4. In chapter 4, if I may pick up and thought, and here's the Apostle Paul, and he tells us that we are not to be worried. Verse 6, careful about nothing, to stop worrying about everything. Why can you stop worrying? Because you're not wanting. If you're wanting, you're going to worry. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If I'm not wanting, I'm not worrying. Worrying means I don't know how it's going to go. Nope. I'm looking to God. That's what I'm going to do. So therefore, be careful for nothing. Stop worrying about nothing. Don't worry about anything. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart. Well, that's wonderful, God. Ah, now God, it's going to be a picnic. Oh, no. No. Verse 11. Paul, what are you going to say? Help me. How did you ever? Was it a picnic for you, Paul? No. I had to go out in the desert and spend time. And God taught me out there. So before I began, God saved me and sent me out there to sit and think about things. And therefore, God, and now Paul, was the rest of it easy? Oh, no. And read 2 Corinthians and chapter 11, etc. And all of that. And I was shipwrecked. I was bitten by evil bugs and everything. And I had everything. My whole life was one traumatic thing after another. Well, Paul, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. There's your word, want, need, useful, needful, lacking. Not that I speak in respect of want or lacking. Why? How could you say that, Paul? For I have learned. I have been initiated. I have been brought in God's wonderful grace to discover how the journey goes. God knoweth the need. God understands the journey. And I'm going to go trusting God. And that's how I made it. Were you worried about the shipwreck? No. Were you worried about the poison? No. Were you worried about anything? When they stoned you? No. Why not? I'm learning. That's how I learned. The exercise, Hebrews 5, of discernment. Exercise. You got to go through it. So I don't want. But then you'll never learn. And if you go through it and you don't learn, that's not good. So therefore, verse 11, I have learned whatever state I am in. I have learned as whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. To content. Well, how could you learn to do that? Because, well, aren't you worried about the next week? No. Next year? No. The next whatever? No. No, I could. But we already noted in Matthew 6 and 34, sufficient of the day is the what? The evil. It's enough to you to struggle through now without you packing on all the other stuff that you can dream about and worry about. You don't have to do that. Father knows. So you use your common sense and do everything. Therefore, verse 12, I know both how to abound. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. There's your need. I know what it is to want. God said he'd supply all my need. Now, God, you're going to make it a picnic? No. No, I'm going to let you learn. You're going to go through the corridor, down the corridor of time, and you're going to go up and down and easy and hard and much and little. You're going to be alone and everything. We have to learn how to over. It doesn't, that's the last thing you have to think about, because God's always there if I just trust him. So therefore, as I'm going, God, you're going to go and teach me, and I'm going to have to go need. I need patience. I need this. I need that. I need this. I need, and you don't realize it. You say, I need this. I need to get, I need to fix this. I need to get this advantage in my life. Well, then your life needs to be adjusted to have the benefit of that advantage. You can't have it because you aren't fit for it. You've got to go and look to God, and God outworks his wonderful thing in your life, so you learn to be patient. And that's why things could go wrong. You could have 10 things go wrong in a row. And each time, you're a little slower to react. You do and pick up, and do and pick up, and do it. I have to do that. You have to do that. I don't want to do it. I do it. Just happens now, and I thank God. All the things, spilled coffee or some other dumb thing I do, and something happens, you know, and I made a mess about something. I had a bunch of raspberries, if it's all right, someone gave us a little package of raspberries, and they were balanced on something, and, you know, the refrigerator got everything balanced, you know. And I took it out, and all over the floor, down they went. I didn't tell you that, Jeanette, because you'd yell at me. And they went all over the floor, down the floor, you know. And I said, okay. So I got down and picked them up carefully and put them in my bowl and ate them. Because I'm not wasting raspberries. And it's, after all, it's my dirty floor. If it was your dirty floor, I wouldn't do it. But on my dirty floor, I do it on my dirty floor. That's my dirt, after all. So therefore, God, it happens. And you don't say anything. You just go through it. It just happens. And it doesn't matter anymore. Do you understand? It doesn't matter anything. You just go through and pick it up and do whatever you have to do. And that's it. It's a wonderful experience. And yeah, and God, why? Because you learn it. I would never learn it if it never happened. I would never be able to be silent all the time. Because God does it. And that's how you learn. You learn it in the College of Hard Knocks. You learn. It's a wonderful thing to be learning and looking to God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, I'm all the need. So you don't want to say that God, that everything's going to be wonderful. No, God's going to let a lot of things happen. And that's how you're going to learn them. God may take away the food, hunger. So you learn not to hunger. And it isn't hunger that's the problem. It's your relationship to God, not being hungry. It isn't something else. It's your relationship to God. You need to be looking, why is this like in my life? Physical life and economic life, social life, educational, whatever it is. Why is it like that? Well, God, if I'm going to look to you, I'm going to learn. Because it isn't about my education. It isn't about your job. It isn't about that. It never was about that. God saved you out of that. God said you earn it to pay the bills and stuff. But that isn't what it's about. It's about your relationship to God. And you exercise that relationship in an intelligent way. So therefore, God, we're looking, verse 19, to say it to us easy, but my God shall supply, A-L-L, your, all your what? Need. Now, what are you going to, after all of that, God, Paul, what did you got? You're in prison still? I'm still in prison. What did you learn, Paul? Paul said, that's how I'm learned. That's how I learned all these things. I learned to be content. I learned that it wasn't so, the issues, that it would make issues about everything. You don't make issues because you don't need to. Us humans, it's amazing anything's reasonable. Be glad things are reasonable or whatever they are. If you're waiting for them to be right, you won't live long enough. The only rightness is with God and his righteousness and not ours. So we aren't looking to say, am I going to be right? No. No, you're looking for God and his rightness. And you aren't looking for it anywhere else. Be glad that it isn't bad-er. That's all. Now, having said that little bit, over to Hebrews. Since we mentioned that. And you want to tie it together. Hebrews in chapter 4. And you want to tie it together like we reminded ourselves on Wednesday and this morning about Exodus 16 and the manna. The manna, why God did the manna the way he did it, in order to educate the Israelite who was under the law. They didn't want to believe God. They didn't want to rest in his finished work. David did, but the rest didn't. So therefore, God did what he did with the manna, etc. It was a wonderful education lesson, if they would but remember it. Now, so here we are looking in Hebrews chapter 4, picking up, please. And you'll recall verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us or entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Come short of it is a Hebrew, English, a Greek word, but lacking, needing. Come short, to miss the mark, to need, to be deficient. It's not enough. It doesn't come far enough. And that's the word that's used of runners. Runners in the Greek games and all of that. And the runners would be running and running and running. And what would happen is, as they're running, their strength fails. They run out of strength. They become deficient, lacking in enough strength to keep on the run. They don't have it now. So here we are looking, and should come short of it, God's wonderful rest. What was it all about? The seventh day, remember Exodus 16? And seventh day, there was no manna on the ground. They were to trust totally, so that every seventh day they would be reminded what? What we have the last 6 days are because of God. And stop everything, seventh day, and pay attention. What you have in 6 days, God gave it to you, God kept you, God provided for you all your need. So therefore, stop, seventh day, that's what they were to do, and rest. And now, they were to do that. Now, what are we supposed to do? They didn't benefit because they were under the law, etc. But we're under grace. So God, what did they? They missed. They missed. Think of Hebrews 3, 4, chapter 3, verse 18. Of whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? For we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They just never knew it. But you, here we are, chapter 4, don't want to miss out. Come short. You're lacking. What are you lacking? His rest. Sliding down to verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're resting. God knoweth everything you need, and you're learning to trust him as you go intelligently. And all our relationships are based on God being ahead of us, behind us, in front of us, around us, as we go. That's what it is. Wonderfully simple. It's so hard because it's hard. Oh, and so, verse 10 again, for he that has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works. So it isn't our working. We already did that. Our works and God's working. So we see it. Pieces together. Slide them together. So you have them. So therefore, as God did from his. And God made it all. God had the plan before you were born. When you were born and got saved, the plan begins. It isn't a different plan. You can't make the plan. The plan already existed. And God allowed you to be born in this time of history to be part of the body, the church. You could have been born in the days of John the Baptist, and you would have missed, perhaps. Or you could be born in the tribulation and millennium, and you miss. That doesn't mean you can't get saved, but you would miss. You know, we were born now. So we were born in privilege time. Privilege, a wonderful time, a difficult time. So God, here we are learning to what? God, you're going to supply all the need. So David, when you said, "Thou shalt not, I shall not want," you weren't talking pie in the sky by and by. No, you weren't. You were looking to God, and God has kept you all these years. He did all the way to the end, as we shared. Now, so God, my times are in thy hand. Over in closing to James again. And in James, right next door, chapter 1. And you will notice, please, think of Wednesday coming now to where we are, back to this. James 1, verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, putting to the proof, divers temptations, all kinds of testing, to test, to prove, knowing, what am I know, to know, that the trying, putting to the test, the trying of your faith, worketh patience, bearing up under the load. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, and it perfect, complete, full, lacking nothing, that you may be perfect and entire, and then you see it, wanting nothing. And if you don't get what nothing is, slide your eye down to verse 3, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, and tie the word lack back up to the word nothing, nothing, you lack nothing, need nothing. Now, how did you get that? Going through whatever. Therefore, a P.S. in closing. Back over to Hebrews. Right next door again. And in Hebrews chapter 10. And you would catch it. Verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, boldness, courage, frankness, trusting God, which hath great recompense and reward, wonderful, wonderful benefits, the Son coming back to the Father, and all of the benefits thereat with it. Verse 36, for you have what? Need. Your back need. You have a need. What do you need? Patience. Hanging in there. They got to hang underneath the load. We shared all this. Underneath the load, you carry the load and say, boy, a lot of people quit carrying. And the load gets seemingly a little heavier. But God gives you grace to keep carrying the load. And you try to say, well, who cares about his coming? Who cares about any of this? God does. And so therefore, God will help you to bear under the load and just hang in there. Boy, I wish there was more help, and whatever we say. But no, it's just going to be. We want to be the remnant. God help us to be remnant. Verse 36, for you have need of patience, bearing up under the load, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Well, what's that, God? Well, I told you. For yet a little while, verse 37, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. So what are we doing, God? We're waiting. We're waiting. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. I go to work, homeschool, eat, do everything you have to do, brush your teeth, do everything you have to do. But we're waiting. We're waiting. But the body's there. The body's there, functioning. So the people know, where are they in the body? They're everything about them. That we are a unit. We are a oneness. We're learning to do that, I hope. And as we do that, we're amening God's wonderful grace as we go down the corridor of time. And God does wonderful things and supplies all your need. So when you say you have a need, a lack, a want, oh God, you do. But then you stop and say, well, I need this and lack this, but God, that's what I think I need. And God, you know what I need, so I'm going to go forward trusting you to fix it. I don't know that I'm going to get it, but God, I'm going to do trusting you. So it doesn't matter whether I go to the left or the right or straight, whatever you want. I may go the wrong thing, but I'm trusting you as I go wrong. So I'm not going to go wrong too long because I'm trusting you. And whoops, I'm back on target again. And then I go a little further and I'm trusting God. I tried to get this and I'm looking to God. Even when I go sideways, I'm looking to God. And God gets us back on track and gets us down the corridor and lets all of these little sidetracks get moving to help us stay steady on course so that we've learned in whatever state we're in to be content. And that's what God does. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and help us to understand, Father, God, it's so awesomely simple and it just is, if we would let it happen. So God, help us to get past ourselves and look to God for all of the benefits that are ours in Christ Jesus, with understanding, so that we aren't dumb about it. God, we want to be wonderfully in moving in your mind and heart as you would have us, so that we're cooperating with thanksgiving, always with thanksgiving. For no matter what, God, you never stop working and never stop being who you are and never stop caring. And you're going to meet all our need, even if it has to be famine, everything, whatever it has to be, God, teach us well. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.